Now, it's just us here tonight, okay? So look at the person next to you and say, you're us. All right, it's just us here tonight. So I kind of want some interaction and some engagement. So let me tell you what I did one time. I was preaching at chapel down at PCC, and I think there was probably about 4,000 students, and I came out with a big box. It was about this size, good-sized box, and it was full of those little packing curlicues. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those little styrofoam packing curlicues. It was full of it. Obviously, it was very light then, you know, and I had it out there, and there was a guy down in about third, fourth row, college student, and I knew he was a weightlifter. And so I had him stand. We had a wrestling team back then. And I had him stand, and I mean, you know, he's the guy. I mean, he's the big guy, you know. And I said, hey, listen, I need you to do something. Can you come on up here and help me? So he comes up in chapel. Of course, all the students are going like, oh, what's going on today, you know. And I bring out the box. And he sees it's full. I showed the student body. It's full of these little styrofoam curlicues. And so, you know, again, and obviously it's pretty light. And I say, hey, let me ask you something. Do you think that you can pick up and hold all of these curlicues, all these little packing things? And he said, yeah, I think I can handle that. I said, okay. I opened the box, and I scattered it everywhere on the platform. And I said, go ahead, pick it up. And he just looked at me like, well, I said, you said that you were strong enough to pick those up. Pick them up. Well, and it was so, here's this big guy on his knees trying to gather together these kids. And when he gets up, they all, he's got like about, you know, 20 in his hands, you know, and he's like this, he's trying to hold it. I said, you didn't do it, did you? Well, it's like, listen to what he said. Well, it's like they're all out of the box. And I said, that's right, college student, and you hear this. You're going to always run into problems when you try to put God in a box. His ways are not our ways. Neither are his thoughts our thoughts. So far are the heavens above the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts past finding out. Listen, folks. The God that we have is not a God that we made. And by the way, that is what idolatry is. You make your own God. I've counseled a lot of people that have made their own God. When they say this statement, well, I don't think, I've heard this statement. I don't think that my God would ever do this. I don't think, and you know what? That's the problem. You made it your God. You can't put God in a box. And I want to tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're going to worship the God that you cannot put in a box. We are going to worship tonight, and we are going to praise tonight the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you can't put our God in a box. Just about the time in your life when you think, like, I got this all figured out, God. God will go like, no, you don't. Because I got another way to reveal myself to you like you've never known. I don't care how old you are in here, and I don't care how long you've been saved. Don't ever put your God in a box. And that's the God we're going to worship tonight. That's the God we're going to give praise to. Now, I'm going to mention a man's name from the Bible. Probably top five of every person you know in the Bible, one of your top fives. And I'm going to mention his name. And as soon as I do, I want you to raise your hand and tell me something that you remember about him. Could be good, could be bad. But something that when I say his name, you raise your hand, I will call on you on this one, okay? So raise your hand, tell me something about the man, David. David, give me something about David. David and Goliath, good job, man, good job. All right, David and Goliath, all right, somebody else. Yes? The sin with Bathsheba. Boy, you went right for it, didn't you, man? Okay, David and Bathsheba. I say David, you say Bathsheba. I say David, you say Goliath. Go ahead. He was what? Oh, wow. That's a really good one. He was ruddy in appearance. He was kind of fair-skinned. Right, he was ruddy. Yeah, you usually don't hear that one. Okay, good. He was ruddy in appearance. Yes. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. Excellent, excellent. Go ahead. A man after God's own heart. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. He numbered Israel when he wasn't supposed to number Israel. Yeah. He killed a bear. Go ahead. Let your spouse say the other one. He killed a lion. You guys make a good team, man. All right. He killed a bear. He killed a lion. That's excellent. Yes. He was king. Okay. Yes. He played the harp. Yes. He must have loved, he wrote a bunch of the songs. He wrote a bunch of the psalms. By the way, who was his best friend? No one's mentioned his best friend. Jonathan. David and Jonathan. Okay. We have any others? Yes, sir. He what? He spared Saul twice. He spared Saul. Very good. You guys know about David. Yes. He's the father of the wisest man. He's the father of the wisest man, Solomon. Okay. Jacob, you end us. He killed a lot of. No, that's a great one. That's a great one. Because you don't know where I'm headed. Okay. So let me tell you something about David. Whenever you talk about David, he's always young. You don't know an old David. Now, by the way, it's funny. You don't know a young Moses. You cannot picture a teenage Moses, but it's hard to picture a grandpa David. Everything you just said was early in his life. Even the, you know, he's still even dad over Solomon, getting a little bit later in his life. But basically, everything you know about David was when he was young. So tonight, I want you to hear the very last words that are recorded in the scriptures that David said before he dies. 1 Chronicles 29, this is the man after God's own heart. So his last words have to be pretty great. And they are. Oh, they are. 1 Chronicles 29. Now, David wanted to build the temple. God said, because you are a bloody king, because all those Philistines you killed, you are not going to build the temple. Your son, Solomon, will build the temple. You know what? David, I love how David handles that. So he does everything he can to prepare for it. And they're taking offerings like crazy. And people are bringing in all kinds of possessions and treasures. And oh, what a moment. 1 Chronicles 29, just the spirit of giving that everyone could give for the building of the temple. David's not going to be a part of that, but he sure prepared. And by the way, Brother Parrish, I just want you to know something. I don't know if I should say this in front of everyone, but I just want you to know you are doing such a good job preparing this church for the next generation. And I really mean that, Brother Parrish. I thought about when I was thinking about this today, I didn't know if I should have said it or not, but I want to tell you, you're doing a really good job preparing. And that's what David did. David prepared Solomon for success and that he was going to be great. Okay, so now, all of these people have brought this huge offering in. These are the last recorded words. Hey, by the end of this chapter, which is going to be in by verse 26, David's going to die. This is it, folks. These are the last recorded words of David in the Bible. First Chronicles chapter 29. Now, I want to tell you something. This is my personal opinion, and I am absolutely interested if you came up to me and go like, well, Brother Schiller, I got another passage. I want to hear it. I do. I want to hear it. But to me, this is the most concentrated passage of scripture in the Bible describing your God. I don't know of any passage in three verses that covers more of the characteristics and attributes of God than what you're about to read. 1 Chronicles 29, the last recorded words of David, starting at verse number 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel. That's Jehovah Elohim of Israel, our Abba, our Father, forever and ever. So we got four characteristics right there. We'll come back to those. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. This is the coolest thing in the world. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Let me tell you this, folks. Let me tell you this right now. Our problem is we're trying to make man like God and God like man. If you ever get the right view of God, you will then have the right view of yourself. When Isaiah is taken to the throne room of God, by the way, if you only had one word to describe God, what word would you use? Oh, awesome. It's not what the cherubim say. That's not what the seraphim say. If you only had one word to describe God, let me tell you which word they use. If you went up to heaven right now in their constant praise service up there, I'll tell you the one word you'll hear. Holy, holy, holy. Because that is the very essence of who God is. His holiness is his perfection. Therefore, he's true, he's loving, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's omnipotent, he's immutable. He's everything because he is holy, because he is perfect. I want to tell you this. When Isaiah saw God, the very first words that came out of Isaiah's mouth, woe is me. And I'll tell you, every time that prodigal, he's sitting in the pig pen and he came to himself, every time somebody comes to themselves and gets the right view of God. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar is having a Thanksgiving service out in a cow pasture. He's got fingernails like eagles. He's got hair that looks like scales. And he's lost his mind. The most powerful person that's ever ruled in the world in a human form, Nebuchadnezzar. He lost his mind. And I'll tell you when he regained it. He regained his mind when he got the right view of God. And the prodigal got the right view of God, and he says, what am I doing in this pig pen? Isaiah sees God, he says, woe is me. And what does David say here? After he just gives the greatest description of God anywhere in the Bible, what does he say? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Oh, that we even, and by the way, what does it say in the next verse? For we are strangers before thee. And so we're just, hey, another word, everyone, Thanksgiving. We're just what? Pilgrims. We're just pilgrims passing through this life as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Oh, Lord, our God. All this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thy holy name, it cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I don't want to get upset. I don't want to get mad, but I got to tell you, I'm passionate about this. Everything you see on that table Thursday is because of God's blessing and goodness. everything in your life. God is the one who gave it to us. When we give thanksgiving, we're just giving back to God praise for what he's given us. Folks, let me tell you something. We are so unworthy, and our God is so worthy of praise. Now, you're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to go through this a few of these characteristics tonight, and then you're going to have an opportunity to stand. It ain't going to be long. It's going to be 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. But you're going to stand, and you're going to testify of God. I just want to thank my God for his blank. I don't know what it is. I don't know what characteristic or what attribute that God has revealed to you about himself this year that you said, boy, I have needed this. Well, I'm a woman and I don't say anything in the church house. You can give testimony of God. You're not getting up to preach, okay? I'll take care of that. You can stand and testify. Well, I'm a teenager here. And your point? Every teenager here can stand and testify. I thank God for this. And I want you to know, I think it does God something. And that's good for the people of God. But it's just good to hear his children stand and testify. This, by the way, notice what this started. Notice what it said. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Before all the congregation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's get started. Father, I thank you for tonight. I pray tonight that there's only one that we will leave here talking about. And that one is you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God the Father would be lifted up, Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that the Holy Spirit's ministry tonight would be one of praise, one of thanks. And Father, I do expect the children of God to stand and give a short word of thanks for who you are. May that encourage all of us tonight. And you know what, Lord? If they don't hear another word of my message and they're thinking about what they're going to say, I think that's great. Father, they don't need to hear what I say. They need to testify to you of what they say about you. So Lord, if they don't even pay attention to what I say, I don't care. But Lord, may their mind be consumed with who you are. And may they think back over this year and realize how good, patient, forgiving, immutable, powerful, present, Lord, I can go on and on, sovereign that you have been in their life. How wise, how timely, how perfect, how gracious, how merciful. By the way, Lord, we're thankful that your mercy endureth forever because we sure need it. Lord, I don't know how much time, it won't be long, but the short time that we have tonight, may you are worthy of everything that we say about you tonight. And we can't even scratch the surface. We don't ever want to put our God in a box. Father, you are God. And tonight, we pray and we lift up you and exalt you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. All right, look what it says. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou. Now, you got a good King James Bible, praise God. Notice something about the next word, Lord. It is all capitalized. Did you notice that? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And our King James translators did something really great for us. Every time in the Torah, in the Old Testament, that you come across the word, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you know what word it is. It is the word Jehovah God. Now, you say Jehovah. They don't have a J in the Hebrew, so it's really pronounced Jehovah. And don't you say Yahweh. No, 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 no. That is a wrong pronunciation. It is Jehovah God. And every time you come across capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, by the way, sometimes you'll come across capital G, capital O, capital D. And whenever deity is capitalized in your King James Bible, you have the word Jehovah God. Now, let me tell you about this word. Jehovah means I am that I am. Now, I'll tell you what. Tonight, we ought to all be thankful that we don't have a God that was and that we don't have a God that will be. We have a God that is always I am. And that's what I need, folks. I don't need the God of yesterday, and I don't need the God of tomorrow. I need the God of today. And he said to Moses, Moses, you go tell Israel that their deliverer will be Jehovah God, will be the I am that I am. I will be whatever you want me to be. It's like giving a blank check to the people of Israel. And whatever amount you need, that's what I'll be. You need a shepherd? I'll be your shepherd. I am your shepherd. You need a deliverer? I'm your deliverer. You need wisdom? I'm your wisdom. You need protection? I'm your protector. I am whatever you need me to be. And I don't know everything that God's been for you, but I know that God has been everything that you have needed this year. There has never been a time this year that he's failed you. Well, you don't even know my life. No, I don't. I know your God, and your God has not failed you this year. He is the I am God. Hey, let me give you one quick illustration about one attribute of God with this I am thing, okay? That he's eternally present. The grace of God. Now, maybe someone's going to stand up tonight and say, I am so thankful for God's grace. I am thankful that he's a gracious God and for God's grace. Okay, so that's a great thing to thank God for. Now let me tell you, though, something about God's grace. This is so interesting. God has never given grace for our past. And God has never given grace for our future. The only time God ever gives grace is in the present. Some of you are worried about things in the future that haven't happened yet. You can't be worrying about that because God's grace isn't there yet. You're worrying about stuff that doesn't have the grace of God on it yet. Man, I gotta tell you, I got a big thing going on tomorrow and I am so worried. You can't do that. You don't have God's grace yet. So you're worrying about stuff that God hasn't given you grace for yet. God's grace, and you know what? What's ever happened in the past? Oh, my past. Oh, it's just, let me tell you something. God's grace doesn't deal with the past. God's grace doesn't deal with the future. God's grace deals with the present. And how do you know that? Because he says, I am that I am. Therefore, my grace is I am that I am. My grace is only good for the present. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When you get a hold of this Jehovah thing, Brother Shetler, this is the first one. We got to go through this whole, no, we'll go through quick. But you got to get this Lord thing. I'm telling you, that is huge. When he said, blessed be thou, Jehovah, I am that I am. Now look at the next word. Elohim, God, Elohim. Now, this is interesting. I wrote down some things, so I got to look at my notes. So he says, Elohim, God. This is a creator God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this is a very, very interesting word. Because in the English language, when we want to make something plural, what do we put at the end of a word when we want to make it plural? Everyone together, what do we put? S. Okay, in the Hebrew, they put for a plural word, yod mem. And that comes out im, im. So if a word ends with yod mem, im, it's plural. Brother Scheller, what did you say that this word was? Elohim. Wait a second here. We got a one God. Are you talking, you're going to teach us about polytheism tonight? No. The Lord thy God is one God. The Bible says that. The Bible says that in the Shema, in the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. The Lord thy God, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. By the way, that word is akat, and it means one is a unit, one is a group. Okay, so listen to this. This is really cool. So the very first verse in the Bible, you know how you could translate it? In the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, those three, this is the key. There is an article before it indicating there's only one. But the word Elohim is actually plural. So it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator God. He is the one, this is the idea behind Elohim. He is the one true God. He is the God of gods, otherwise known as Elohim. Wow, Brother Schiller, I've learned so much already. This is David's saying all this. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of, everyone together, of, that's the covenant name of Israel. He's a covenant God. Of Israel are Abba. And I want everyone to say the Hebrew word for father is Abba. Everyone together, what is that word? Abba. That is such a precious name, guys. He is not this. Now, see, this word means so much to me because I come from a broken home and I love my dad. I never was bitter at my dad. I got to lead my dad to the Lord, but I got to tell you, I had a messed up image of a father. I did. I thank God for my dad. I thank God for what's happened and how the Lord worked, and I got to lead dad to the Lord. But if you want to know something, I struggled in my Christian walk because I never had a father image. And by the way, if you've had a good godly father, you ought to thank the Lord for that. If you're here tonight and you had a father who, I never had that. And I got to tell you, my whole image of God is, by the way, some of all these weirdos, like Sigmund Freud and all these, and a guy named Hitler, you study all of them, you know what was missing in their life? A father. A father. And I got to tell you something, we get messed up pretty quick if we don't have the right father image. Now, I got to tell you, I didn't have it. But I learned early in my walk with the Lord that he was my Abba Father. My Abba Father. That is the most endearing word to call God. And you know what? That's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, my Father, and it says it right in the Gospel of Mark, Abba, Abba Father, I cry out to you. And you know what? This year, you've been able to cry out to an Abba Father, and you ought to say amen for that. That you've had a Father, Abba Father. Wow! Is David knocking at Brother Shuttler? We can't. I know. But here we go. I figure we'll be done in Thanksgiving Day. No. Here we go. Because I got to hear from you guys. Thine, O Lord. Okay, so Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. He's our eternal Abba Father. Boy, praise God for that. Verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Idea there is dignity and worthy. The greatness means, God, you are worthy. Now, let me tell you this. He is worthy for you to swallow your pride tonight and humble yourself a little bit and stand up and say, I want to thank God for. He is worthy. So I got to tell you, this is my last really story, and then we're on our way. I tell you what, this was about 5 years ago, so it's been a while. It was about 5 years ago, I had overbooked myself with seven camps. So I did seven camps, and gang, they were in a row without a break. I went from June to the first week of August. It never stopped. I did seven camps. I'm finished my sixth camp, and I come home for the weekend. It is Sunday night, and I still got to take a red eye to get to where I'm going on Monday morning. I'm sitting on the couch with a woman that I've totally forgot her name. I think it's Marilee. I don't remember. I have not seen her at all summer. I mean, just the weekend for like usually 24 hours. And I am crying. First of all, I'm so physically wiped out. And I am crying. My wife is like, yeah, you did this to yourself. And you can't ever do this again. So she's upset with my schedule and the whole nine yards. And I am not bawling or weeping, but I am crying. I got tears in my eyes and I said, God. I said, Marilee, I do not want to go. I do not want to do another week of camp. And you know, Marilee's thinking, yeah, I don't want you to either. And I said, you know what? What do I tell these teenagers this week? What do I tell them? And I'll tell you, I don't want to ever forget this as long as I live. Because I know Marilee was missing her husband. And she looked at me. She moved away from me. And she pointed at me and she said, Jim, you tell those young people that God is worthy for them to give their lives to. And he's worthy for you to go to that camp and preach another week. Now, you shouldn't have made the schedule that you had for the summer. But he is worthy for you to go to that camp and to you to preach about Jesus. He is worthy. And I've never forgotten that. I want to tell you something. Our God is worthy of praise. Our God is worthy of our giving, of our life, of everything. When we put him first, he is worthy of that. That's what David was trying to say when he said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. You are worthy and the power. Now, this word power comes up quite a bit. It's different word, though. Every time it's a different Hebrew word. This one has the idea of force, mastery, strength. And the power and the glory has the idea of honor, respect, and reverence. And the victory, constantly, forevermore, conquering in strength. And the majesty, that has the idea of beauty. And his kingdom, that's the idea that he is the king. And riches, wealth. What did Benjamin say the other day? He's what? Oh, well, two people remember the message. Okay, he's living, he's Lord, he loves us, he's longing for us, and he is loaded. There we go, and he is loaded. That's the idea behind riches, that God is loaded with wealth. Honor, weighty, splendor, glory. Reignus, man, he's sovereign, he rules, it's his creation, he does with what he wants to do. I am so glad in a world that is falling apart that my God still rules and he still is sovereign. He allows man to have a free will, but he's got a plan and he will accomplish every prophecy that he has said. And we know how the story ends. And if you're so discouraged, just get to Revelation chapter 21 and get to the end and see that he is a sovereign God. His power, here the word is the idea of vigor and ability. Nothing too hard for God. And might, valor, and strength. Make great, to magnify and to lift up and to give strength, to give courage. Now, I tell you something. I'm all about, I do a lot of campfires. And I try to lay it all out at the campfire. Now, guys, young people, teenagers, college students. Okay, I know you're thankful for your friends. I know you're thankful for your teachers. I know you're thankful for people. I know you're thankful for your mom and dad. I know that. I know you're thankful that you get to go to West Coast. I know you're thankful for the wilds. I know that. But young people, can I ask you to do something? Praise God tonight. Thank God for who he is and what he's done in your life. And Bible Baptist, I listen, you could all week long, you thank God for your big shade tree in the backyard. I'm all about it. You thank God for your pickup truck. I'm all about that because you don't deserve that pickup truck. God gave you that pickup truck, okay? I am all about that. But just for a few moments before we leave tonight, would you stand and testify about him tonight? Would you just praise him? Do you realize that how many people, at best, they'll thank God and they'll say a little blessing around a Thanksgiving table for their turkey? Well, I'm glad that they did that. I'm glad that they recognize that the turkey comes from God, okay? I'm glad for that. But oh, folks, Bible Baptist, he is God and he is worthy of our praise. So I want to encourage you tonight, just take a few seconds to stand and say, you know what? This year, God's blank has done this. Now, just before we go there, let me explain about God's attributes for a moment. Now, you cannot do this. We can do this in a thing called systematic theology. And they do this in all the theology books. But you can't do this with God. You can't separate God from one attribute to another. Because sooner or later, if you talk about his eternalness, you're going to talk about his immutability. And if you talk about his immutability long enough, you're going to talk about his omnipresence. Okay, they're all connected because he's God. However, in theology, we take God and we separate him in two parts. I know you can't do it, but we do it in systematic theology. And here are the two parts. One is called his moral or communicative characteristics or attributes. Those are the ones that he created us in his image. Truth, love, mercy, grace. We can all experience those things. Those are his moral attributes. And then there are his non-moral attributes. Those are the attributes that only him and Satan have. No. Satan does not have one non-moral attribute. And God's people said, Satan is not omnipresent. Amen. Satan is not omniscient. Satan cannot know what you're thinking. He can put thoughts in your mind. I can put thoughts into your mind. He can put thoughts into your mind, but he doesn't know what you're thinking. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. God's people said, amen. He doesn't possess any non-moral attribute. He's not immutable. He's not any of those things. The angels? No. Only God has those characteristics. Okay. So I don't care tonight if you want to stand and thank God for his truth or you want to stand and thank God for his omniscience. I don't care what you want. I just want you to praise God for who he is and what he's done. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then it's Bible Baptist turn. We're not going to go long. And I don't know, there may be only 3-4 of you. I'm hoping there'll be 15-20 of you that would just stand and praise God for who he is. Because that's revival, to be able to speak what God has done in your heart and done for you this year, to stand and say, I want to thank God and praise him for being a God of whatever God has spoken to you about. Father, I believe that you brought me to Bible Baptist this weekend. Oh, Father, I thank you for the tenderness of those teenagers on Saturday. I believe that there will be fruit that remains from that youth rally on, and for everyone that put into that. But God, ultimately, it wasn't Shetler's messages or Jacob's games. It was the Holy Spirit that met with us on Saturday. And then, Father, yesterday morning, there was so much freedom. Father, just in the Sunday school hour of Psalm 150, and it, just the people received it, and then comparing your son to Joseph and how the people received that. And last night about suffering. Father, you've worked in our hearts this weekend and you've been working in these people's lives. And Father, I know you have not failed them this year. I know that you have been their God this year. Lord, may they just encourage each other. This isn't about me. It's not about Pastor Parrish tonight. It's about you. And Father, I pray that your people would be thrilled to tell others what you've meant to them. Lord, I pray that we'll be careful what we say and how long we say it, but I pray that there will be a freedom and a blessing from you. And Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege to have been at this body of believers this weekend. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. You got something?